Hello and welcome back to another season in review. Tonight, I'm delighted to be joined by Mikel Honoré of the Deceuninck Quick Step. Mikel, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, man. Thank you so much.
And where in the world do we find you tonight?
Sorry?
Whereabouts in the world are you now?
I'm in Lugano in Switzerland at home. So I'm starting to... Yeah, to preparing for the next season, so that's great.
Do you have any snow?
A little bit of snow actually in the mountains. There came something yesterday, but I think it will melt a bit again and then come back for the later December.
So looking back at this season, strangely for me, I think it began really at the Giro of 2020. There you finished third on the second stage and you performed very well in the team. Do you think that was your launch pad into 2021?
Yes, I would say so. I mean, after coming third, I think it was on the second stage in the Giro last year. It obviously gave some confidence for the winter, for all the preparation and to really, you know, use all that confidence into better training and constantly developing and learning more things about myself in terms of training and so on. So for sure, I would say the podium in the second stage of the Giro last year was more or less a breakthrough for me.
So then how was your winter training?
Last year or?
This at the start of this season, did everything go according to plan?
Yes, so the winter preparation went really well. I had a short break after the Giro, as the Giro was ridden until the first part of November, and then everything just, you know, continued to go well. I felt like after that Giro, I developed. A great step and develop myself better. So you could just continue to training from let's say a higher level than usually when you finish the season in start of October. And then, yeah, the goal for me and my coach was to start well in a dash run and then go back on training camp and focus on the next races like Kobe Bartali and Basque Country.
So at the start of this season, it was a contract year for you. Did that put a little bit more pressure on your shoulders?
You can say so, but still for me, it's not something that I ever thought about. You know, I always thought about just being the best as possible, if it's a contract year or not, to train as good as possible, to, you know, to be the best rider I can. So yeah, some would say it gives you a bit more pressure and you don't think about it. But for me, you know, I just think that I had 2 years as a professional and I learned so much through these 2 years. And then, you know, I got it right and found the way that works good for me to let's say prepare the season.
You started the year, as you mentioned, in France. You were fourth in Ardèche, third in the Drôme Classic. Bajoli won that day. Was that a confidence boost? You mentioned you wanted to start the season well. That would have given you another boost after your good Giro at the end of the previous year. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. You know, doing that, let's say, start of the season, it helped me, you know, to gain confidence for the training camp afterwards and going into the spring, you know, with in generally with more confidence and, you know, just riding on a good wave of results and being relaxed, you know, just, you know, trying to do your best all the time. And then it just continued to go well.
You then go to Coppi Bartali, you win the final stage, you finish second on GC, your first pro victory. Just how good was that day?
Oh, that was amazing. I mean, I have, I feel like, first of all, Italy is a big part of me as a person and as a rider. So having my first pro win here in Italy, it meant a lot to me. But then also, you know, after doing a lot of hard work, etc., it was just indescribable feeling to win. So that was absolutely amazing. And when you win, you just want to win even more and to be back on the first spot.
And that happened again very quickly. So Tour of the Basque Country, you are in the breakaway stage five with Joseph Cerny, your teammate, and you take another win. So two very, very good wins, very close together. Obviously, that was your first World Tour win. Does that mean more, or are both wins just as good?
I would say both are just as good. There's always something special about the first win, even though it was not at World Tour level, it was just very special. But of course, the win in Basque Country, it meant at least the same, because it was the special way of victory together with Joseph. It's a memory we will never forget, and that was absolutely amazing day to win there. You know, that was special.
Was it the plan before the stage to go for the breakaway?
Yeah, that was for sure my plan. I already looked a bit on that stage for a few days before, and I said that it could be a possibility. For sure, there was also a lot of sprinting teams that said it would be the only sprint stage in the Tour of Basque Country. But I know that there were two hard climbs, and going into the final was a little bit of tailwind. So it was, let's say, perfect for us in the breakaway. And it was not an easy stage to control in the peloton.
And how was it decided that you would take the win? Obviously, you attacked, you dropped Julien Bernard, and then Joseph came over to you. So how did you decide who was going to take the win?
It was just something, you know, we didn't even discuss or talk too much about it. We just rolled over, you know. So that was, yeah, a special moment. I was about to say, yeah, Joseph, just go and take the win. And then he said, oh, Miguel, you should go and take the win. So it was not something that was decided from the car, neither really decided by us. Things went so fast. So because, you know, the time gap were so close, and I thought actually we were, you know, until, let's say, even with 500 meters to go, I could really understand that we would make it till the end. So you'd never really had the energy or let's say confidence to even start thinking about getting to the finish.
It must have been very special to win with your teammate, something which doesn't happen very often. It might not happen again in your whole career. That must have been a very special feeling.
Yeah, that was exactly what I said, you know, a very special feeling to pass with your teammate. I mean, it's not a lot of riders that have been able to do that, especially on World Tour level. So it's a memory I will never forget, and Joseph either. So that's one for the history books of us.
Then you go to the Giro, and it doesn't go exactly to plan for the team with Remco, but then João comes good in the end. You made the breakaway, I think, the day Vendrame won. How was your Giro? How was the full 3 weeks for you?
So, to be honest, going into the Giro, I didn't have the ideal preparation with a crash first in Brabant. But okay, I was still feeling quite okay. You know, we had a goal to protect Remco and Joao the most as possible. That didn't end out as we wanted in the end. But personally, for me, it was not one Giro that I would think back on and say it went really well. Secondly, on my crash in the Gorizia stage, which was a quite hard accident, and yeah, it took some time it was fairly impossible to recover from that, and then it was just to get through the Giro and take on to another Grand Tour finished. So it was not a super Giro for me, but okay, that it cannot always go as you want.
How hard is it to keep going, even though you're recovering from a crash? It's not going great for you. You must have been tempted. Some riders maybe would have stepped off. You know, how hard is it to get to the end, to go the full 3 weeks?
Oh, that's super hard. I mean, when you are just exhausted from all your body being destroyed from the asphalt and the hard impacts from the ground, you don't sleep well at night. You know, you wake up just super, super exhausted, and to get to the end, it's hard. But you do it to, let's say, you honor the race, and even though we are at world tour level, I mean, it's still a super big thing to finish a Grand Tour, or especially a Giro d'Italia for me. So it's not something that I don't think anybody in the peloton would just say to step out for, unless they really can continue at all.
You then have a break and you do national championships. I think there was another race as well. And then you come back in at San Sebastian. Another fantastic performance. You finished third. Potentially, you could have done better that day had the crash not happened on the descent. What do you remember of that day?
I remember, you know, coming into the race with a good feeling. I had a good summer. You know, all things went well. But of course, from training to racing, you still don't know exactly 100% where you stand. So I come into San Sebastian with good training, and when I think back on it, you know, I just remember it became really, really bad weather on the Jais Cabela, and the race started to get really hard. And we got into a quite good position, but there were some pressures left and right because it was super, super slippery. And then we get to the L8's climb, where I think Landa and Paulus started attacking. So, or I think it was maybe even Simon Carr.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, there was just full gas on the climb, and then on the top, I spoke with Julian, and he said just you know, follow some of the attacks, and then I ended up getting away with Lorenzo on the descent, feeling super, super tired, of course, but you know, it was a hard race, and we just kept going, and you know, I was just focused on to go for the victory, to stay calm, not to attack, because I knew Paulus was going to try on the climb. And then I decided to stay on the wheel of Mohoric up on the climb, and we had a good pace, good work together, because I believed in my sprint in the end. But okay, unfortunately on the descent, that we even did a recon the days before and said that's going to be a crucial and difficult corner. And I even remember it for a few years, 2 years ago. But okay, we came in wrong to the corner. I was in a bad situation, being on that side of Mohoric, not able to proper corner well because he was slipping with his rear wheel. And then I thought, you know, I had to just go straight and brake as hard as possible, going to the curb and get back on. And yeah, I went back on the bike quite fast, and ended up coming back to Paulus and Mohoric. But I think, you know, the things go so fast, and you don't really have any time to think of anything, especially after a crash. You had this, you know, a bit thinking of what's going on. But in the end, I was third, and that was a big and an important result for me. But of course, you were so close to win, a big class, one day classic like San Sebastian. You will always be disappointed somehow.
So it seems that you, from the outside looking in, you have developed from being in a domestic role with the team for the last two seasons since you joined, really. And then this season, you start off the season very well. You take two victories. You ride the Giro as domestic, but it now seems to be that you are earning the trust of the team. You are becoming, okay, you spoke to Julien about attacking, but you are now becoming more trusted and getting more leadership opportunities. Did it feel like that? Did it feel like you were now gaining the trust of the management?
Yeah, for sure. Without doubt, you get, you know, more trust from performing well in the races and getting good results. But of course, we are also a team with a lot of great riders and super great leaders. So whatever race you go into, there are always two, three, or even five, six other riders that can also be the captain. So I think the great thing we have in Quickstep is we have a super balance. When, you know, you have a rider that says he's performing super well in super great condition, he have more freedom and a leader role, and so it's a quite flat hierarchy, and the team is always great at adjusting and giving freedom to the riders who are in great shape, and that's maybe one of the reasons about all of this success Quickstep have had in the past few years or decades. I'm super happy and having for sure more confidence from the management team, and that gives you just more motivation to do everything as good as possible coming into the next season.
You then go to Tour of Poland, and again, it's a very successful race for you and the team. You are fifth on the second stage that finished on a very, very hard climb. You finish eighth in the TT. You are fifth in GC. Zhao wins the race. That was a very good race for you and the team, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I don't remember how many, I think two or three stages we won there. I think three with Remy, the TT, and two stage wins of Zhao. So it was an amazing race, and two riders in top five GC. So it was perfect race for us. And again, I would say one of I think it was the first stage race win of Xiao even. And that was super, super good performance of him again.
What about your time trial? That looked like your best one so far. Was that pleasing?
Yeah, that was pleasing. I was working quite a bit on it in the summer because I saw I was going to Tour of Poland, and I said, why not give it a shot to focus on the TT a bit? I've always been liking time trialing, but coming into the under 23, it was something I focused less on, and and never really worked on. So it's something I would continue work on in the future for sure. And I think it's important to work on all kind of parameters to improve as a rider.
The steep climb that finished stage two, it seems to be something you have improved quite a lot in this season. You know, Coppi Bartali, you won with the stage had some steep climbs in it. San Sebastian, you've coped with the very steep climb at the end. Is that something you've noticed yourself, you're improving in this type of climb?
Yes, I mean, from last year in the Giro in Agrigento with the finish uphill there, it more or less, you know, as a pro rider, you don't know what kind of rider you really are. You know, you go into and you learn it through experience. And since that stage in the Giro, you know, I said, that might be something I should try to focus on, or something that I could be good at on shorter steep climbs. So for sure, it's something I really like. And like in Tour of Britain as well, you know, it was the steep climb there. So it's finishes I really like, and I think that it's something that I could work even more on in coming into the next years.
The good results flow, they keep coming after Poland. So you're second in Overacer behind Remco, you're third in Plouay behind Cosnefroid and Julian Alaphilippe, you're fourth in the GC and the Tour of Britain. It really was an amazing period of form for you. You know, top results, consistent results. That must have been very pleasing, that stretch of races.
Yes, that was very pleasing and gave, you know, a lot of happiness from all the good work and suffering in the years and in the summer, especially training hard for the last part of the season. So that was really satisfying to see, you know, it's to be up there, you know, maybe it was not a lot of it was two victories, but you know, at this level, it's super, super hard to win. But for me, just doing a final every time, that was a very big step up for me and a great improvement for me and something that made me just really happy.
What did you think of the Tour of Britain? Did you enjoy our race?
I loved it. We were perhaps lucky with the weather. I don't know, because it's never raining in Britain anymore.
Oh, no, you were very lucky.
So we didn't have any rain at all, and except one day maybe. But I loved every part of it, from the south to the north, especially in I think it was the start of the Edinburgh stage on the countryside there. I kept saying to my teammates, look at this, it's so, so beautiful, you know. It was something super nice, and but of course it's a lot nicer this year than what you hear from the past years, when it was sunny and good weather every day, and then it was also, of course, just nice stages, always hilly, hard stages, great landscape. It was only a bit of long trances, but that you can live with when the rest is so good.
Then you go to the Primus Classic, fourth again. You attack, I think, about 45 times in the final 5 kilometers, but they keep chasing you, and then you ride and you lead out, and Florian takes the win. You mentioned earlier riding for Quickstep, the amount of wins the team gets, you know, the freedom that people, yourself, other riders will always get within that team. What is it like to ride for the most successful team in cycling?
Well, it's a pleasure. You know, you go out to races, you're happy because, you know, there is a great atmosphere within the team, between your teammates, and you know, to giving it 110% for your teammate, you still feel happy with it, because, you know, it's more like a family or friendship between each other, even though, you know, every athlete, every rider always have his own high ambitions. But you know that if you work 110% with teammates, in another race you come back, this guy will always, you know, give it all for you. So it makes your chances better as a rider to win or to have, let's say, help from someone else later on. So it's a special feeling, but great. You know, we just enjoy to ride the bikes and to race aggressively, and always have a, let's say, a strategy to go for the stage victory or race.
You then go to the World Championships riding for a very, very strong Danish team. Michael obviously finishes third on the day, which was a great result for the squad. How was that day for you?
Oh, it was a special day. I mean, I was feeling really well. I had, let's say, more or less the best preparation, I think, for me with Tour Britain, with Primoz Classic, with super good feelings in the trainings going up to the Worlds. I saved a lot of energy until I think with 100 km to go or whatever, when I had a crash on the lap in the Leuven circuit, where I teared my ligament in the wrist. So it was a bit from everything going so well to something to going into an injury, more or less, no? So that was a tough day, especially for us as a nation. Michael, in the end, as you said, saved everything. But I mean, we had also with a crash with Andreas Kron, with Mads Pedersen. So I think if we didn't have any, you know, bad luck, for sure we could have been represented more in the final. But I mean, that's what happens, and that's typical for a world championship, and that's racing. You know, you crash, and then you got back up on the bike as fast as possible.
So we mentioned Danish cycling is in a very strong position. You mentioned some of the names there of your teammates. The Tour de France obviously is going to start in Denmark next year. Now, getting a spot on the Quickstep Tour de France team is very, very difficult. But is that something I assume you would love to do next season?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's one of my biggest goals going into the next season, to get on the to get to the Tour. So going into next year, I mean, that's I started the Tour de France in Copenhagen, and riding almost past your home. That's a once in a lifetime opportunity. So I think that would be absolutely amazing to go to the Tour.
How big a deal is it for Denmark? You know, you don't get to host the Tour de France very often. Is it going to be a very, very big event for the whole country?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Danish people are very cycling enthusiastic. Of course, not as much as, let's say, Belgium or Italy. But going into last year, especially with so many Danish riders on different World Tour teams performing well, I think we have the record of most World Tour riders ever as a Danish as a nation. Of almost 25 riders, so that's a lot for only 5 million people, and it's gonna be a huge thing. And I think still many of the a big part of the population don't know yet how big it will be, but there's gonna be a big week of party in Denmark with the Tour de France.
You have signed a new contract with the team for another 2 years. When was that sorted out?
So that was, I think, more or less in the first part of the season, you know, we were already talking a lot, and I was happy, the team was happy, and then we got into a deal, and we finalized everything, I think, before the tour, more or less. And then, yeah, it really came out late after the Worlds, or just before the Worlds maybe, but I was just happy to continue in the team going into the next 2 years. I couldn't see a reason not to stay. Looking on my development, what I've learned from the team, and what I think I can still learn in the future, it was a quite easy choice for me to stay.
Looking back at your results this season, the thing which I mentioned already, the thing which really impresses me is the level of consistency. And that is from the first race in February to the last race in October. So you have top 10 results, top 5 results, Ardèche, Drôme Classic, Coupe Bartoli, Basque Country, San Sebastian, Tour of Poland, Over Yessa Plaui, Tour of Britain, Primus Classic, just race after race after race, top 5, top 10. You must be incredibly happy with that level of consistency, something which is very hard to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, to always be up there, it was a super, super feeling. To be consistent, and like I said before, to be able to ride the finals every time, that was a big step for me. Then to learn how to do the last thing to win, that's the next really difficult thing. But you know, you need to learn that by being up there every time, and that's something I'm trying to train on for the next few years, and just to get the good base and to be up there. I mean, going into next year, it didn't start well with the ruptured ligament in the wrist, because it's a quite long recovery period. Which I had two surgeries in this off season. Last one this Monday, and now just doing a lot of rehabilitation work every week to get the, let's say, the force and the flexibility back in the wrist. But I should be able to, you know, to prepare and train well from now on, more or less, with a brace on for the next 2 months, more or less. But I mean, I think it will still be okay. We still have some months till the start of the season.
Now, it's long been mentioned when people discuss the type of rider you will become, the Ardennes Classics. That's where people have always kind of seen your progression. Do you think that is the style of race where you will kind of target? Obviously, we've spoken about you doing well in steep climbs. You have developed your time trial now as well. Do you think the Ardennes is where you are going to go, or are you more open to a wide kind of range of races?
Good question, actually, because I thought about the same. If you know, it was more going towards just the Ardennes, or to take a more wide option, and I wanted to. I think I will like to try to do it a more different kind of races, because I think that's what makes me good in let's say the specific races like the Ardennes. And I think, you know, as a under 23, I always love to do the couple classics, and that's something I would like to try out also maybe one day. To ride maybe some of the harder couple of classics to try it out and see something with that, or let's say a 1 week stage race focusing on the TT, and then we see from there if it will be a success or not. Maybe it's too many different kind of racing, or it's or it will go well. But I mean, today's with modern racing, you have to be really strong in all kind of terrains and all kind of styles of racing. And that's what I think is the most important thing to focus on today.
Now, your progression this season was enormous. Okay, you're still quite young. You're 24, 25 years old. How much better do you think you can become compared to where you are now?
And that's not easy to answer, I think, because I think, of course, I can become better. You have to think that every day as a rider. Otherwise, you're kind of lost somewhere, you know, because you always have to think of things, how you can improve and where you can improve, because everyone else is constantly in a development and improvement process. So I hope so that I keep improving more than the others, but you have also to remember that everybody else is also improving. So I guess we will see. It can, you know, there are so many different factors that it depends on if you will, let's say if I will improve a lot more, but it's so small marginals from let's say even winning to being top 5, top 10, or even top 20. We're talking about really small marginals, and I hope to continue improving, and then we will see.
In terms of your training this winter, obviously you've mentioned you will have a brace on for a little while. Are you going to change anything this winter compared to what you did last winter?
Yeah, basically I already did, because of course of the injury, I had a much longer break than usual. But for the rest, when I started training now, you know, obviously I stand another point that when I finished the Giro last year in November, and now I finished the season the 27th of September. So already there are like 5 weeks different. But on Monday, next Monday, we go to training camp with a team in Spain. And then I will continue to do similar things as last year, but already doing some different things to try to find better ways for me to improve even more.
Well, Mikel, thank you very much for giving up your time tonight. Hopefully 2022 is as good or even better than 2021.
Thank you so much, David. It was a real pleasure to be here, and I hope to do a great season next year, and to talk with you again another time.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.